Lord, and I'm just thankful for everything you do. Lord, we are thankful for John as he thoughtfully prepared a lesson. Lord, and just pray that you open our hearts and our minds, Lord, that we light in our lives, Lord, and shine a light in this world. Lord, just thank you and praise you for everything you do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, last week we finished up with the 15 rules for Bible study, and so this week we'll pick up where we left off there, and I was going to show you the contrast that happens when you deal with the Jews, with Israel. And throughout history, as I mentioned last week, there's always been people that have helped the Jews throughout history, whether you go back to the Dark Ages, during World War II, when the Nazis were taking over the countries and persecuting the Jews. Can you imagine that? I had a friend when I was in, I guess they call it grade school now, him and his family escaped from Germany, East Germany at the time, and he was telling us that as they were running away, leaving, the bullets were flying right all around them, over their heads, everything. So it's hard for us to imagine that unless we've really been through it. But being under oppression like that, you know, no reading the Bible, no church. If you go to church, it's a government church, and there's no preaching of the from the Word of God. It's all social stuff. But there's always been people that have helped the Jews as they've been under persecution. One man, William of Orange, who was a I don't know where they come up with these names. You know, William of Orange, who was a great Bible-believing Christian, had much influence upon the Baptists of Holland and the Waldensians in Holland. Much of the Dutch Baptists were responsible for a lot of things that happened in American Christianity. And I didn't realize that till I was reading that. You know, the Dutch, what do you think of windmills and kids with those stupid little hats on? But they have quite a history when it comes to Bible-believing Christians and the influence that they had on it. And when they started to come over to America, much of our religious activities are a result of the Dutch Baptists. And then during World War II, when the Germans occupied Holland and Amsterdam, the SS, the Gestapo, and the German soldiers began to round up the Jews. And if you go to Holland, I don't know if anyone's ever been to Holland, you can go and see Anne Frank's house. Anne Frank, her father built a secret compartment up at the top of their house and hid the Jews up there. And you have no idea, we have no idea unless you've read or talked to people how bad the Nazis were and how ruthless and unmerciful they were. And they would kick your door down and come in and search the house at any time, no warning. They wouldn't knock. They wouldn't be polite to speak of. They'd just do what they wanted. And so they hid the Jews up there, and they would stay up there sometime. Well, during the day they'd have to stay up there, but they would stay there for possibly up to 2 months or so until they could get them to the railroad and try and get them out of that area and get them to a country where they would be helped rather than be persecuted. It was an incredible time. We read about it now, and if you're like me, you can put yourself in that situation and relive it as you're reading about it. And they got betrayed, the Franks did, and they went to one of the concentration camps, Auschwitz, and she died there about 2 months before it was liberated. It was a situation where it became a great story. Anne Frank's house today, if you go there, is a memorial, and you can go through it on a tour, which would be very interesting, and see where all the hiding places that they had. But if you go, from there, you take a train, go 20 minutes to the south, you come to a place called Harlem, not New York. You can go there. If you go to Harlem in New York, you better take a small army with you. Mm-hmm. This is in Amsterdam and in Holland, and you go to a place called Ten Boom House. And many of you know about Corrie Ten Boom. You've heard the name and you know the story about it. And that's where the Ten Boom family was. In the contrast here, it shows that the Ten Boom family was under the same occupation by the Germans as they were in Holland. And it didn't matter. They, even though they weren't Jews, they still faced that. And even there, the Nazis, Gestapo, the SS, they were rounding up the Jews. And the Ten Boom family, they weren't Jews. They were Christians, and they knew what the scriptures taught. And therefore, they were not going to turn the Jews into the Nazis. Very important. And you'll see why in a few minutes. So the Ten Boom house, Corrie Ten Boom was a watchmaker, and the shop was downstairs. You can picture these buildings. Watch shop was downstairs, and it was a hiding place, which later became a movie. Many of you have heard about that, The Hiding Place, and that was upstairs. So they got betrayed, and the whole family was sent to concentration camps. I don't know if you ever thought about that, what these people had to endure in these concentration camps. Lack of food. You know, I've seen pictures where they've opened up the concentration camps, and some of those people are so skinny from lack of food. And that's where, just a side note, that's where they developed steroids to build them back up. And of course, anything used for good will get perverted, as you've seen throughout the years. But it was an awful thing that they had to endure.
Medical yeah. practices too.
Oh yeah. The stuff that they did, I was reading, they were experimenting on taking a hit to the head. They'd take young kids and with the rifle butt bang their heads and see how long before it killed them, and then see how it affected them at down the line. And they would use people for medical experiments. Amazing, amazing.
Well, John, you kind of compare it today, the way that the German people were brainwashed, it's very similar today what liberalism is doing to our country.
Well, yeah. Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Kind of a brainwash.
The pattern is the same.
Out of our schools and colleges.
Yeah, yep. And so you know where it's all leading, yeah. You know, where it's all going. And that's fine, you know. The sooner we get there, the sooner we're out of here. That's why a lot of times during the voting season, you hear people, well, we got to get these people out and get these people in because they're for abortion, they're for this. You want the rapture to take place, you vote for the guy that's the worst one that'll bring in in the worst laws and the worst things for the country. But I don't want to go through that. You know, I want to have a good life, what's left of it. And if that is selfish, I don't know. But whatever lays in the cards, I guess, whatever the Lord has for us. But again, as long as this country will support the Jews, we'll be blessed. If I was president, 99% of support would go to the Jewish nation. And then you would see this country really blessed, at least for a while, till we turned on them. And once we turn on the Jews, then you're going to see this country really go down.
Yes,
two things keeping this country afloat: our support of foreign missionaries, getting the word out, and our support of the Jews. Again, it may come in our lifetime, and pay attention to it. When we stop supporting the Jews, watch what happens to this country.
Yes, sir.
So they got betrayed, and the whole family sent to concentration camps. They all died except Corey. She lived, she come out, and she got lined up with Billy Graham. Billy Graham, with his leading and direction and support, she wrote books, and she would give talks about what went on, and very interesting. At the Anne Frank house, what was going on, you had Jews trying to escape the Holocaust, but in Harlem, Corrie Ten Boom, she was a Christian, she was saved, and she recognized the scriptures when they said, and they taught about putting their life on the line under the oppression of the Gestapo. And because of her obedience to the Word of God, she ended up in a concentration camp. You know, you think doing right, you're going to be blessed, but it's not always that way. Doing right, you may suffer the wrath of... Whose world is this?
Satan.
Yeah. Who's in control of this world?
Satan.
Yeah. So he's going to do everything he can to bring down the Word of God, the people who believe the Word of God, anybody who teaches or preaches the Word of God. If you live a life honoring to the Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to try and bring you down. And it's expected. This is his world. And so we're in a foreign land. That's why God says we're ambassadors. We're ambassadors. We're to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. Is my life showing that I am a Christian? Do people see Christ in me as I go through my life? So the Ten Booms were not Jews. They were Dutch Reformed Baptists, and they believed the Bible and what it said in Romans 9. So they helped the Jews. And this has happened all down through history. You've had saved people that have gone out of their way to be a help to the Jew and the Jewish nation. So in the tribulation, there will be people within every nation which the Antichrist controls. Now, the Antichrist isn't going to control everything. He don't have that much time to get every nation under his control, but he will control a lot of the nations. And there will be nations that he doesn't control and that will help the Jew. And through the tribulation period, try to escape the wrath of the Antichrist. So they'll be helping the Jew try to get away from the Antichrist. They will be sympathetic to the Jew and try to help them when Christ comes back as second coming. There will be a judgment called the Judgment of the Nations, and that's what we're leading up to during the tribulation period. When he comes down, this is a second coming. Don't confuse it with him coming back to call the saints out. I showed you the difference a few weeks ago. But he'll come down to rule and reign, set up his kingdom in Jerusalem. He brings forth the nations and the individuals who either helped the Jew or did not help the Jew. We'll take a look at some of the Old Testament verses that deal with this judgment. And you see some key words. I always tell you, watch for certain words, key words in Scripture. Psalm number 9, beginning with verse 17. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. This is a reference to the judgment of the nations. Very clear in Scripture, no doubt about it. All the nations that forget God. Now that the context will be dealing with the tribulation period, but it also applies. The practical application is for today, how we treat Israel. Verse 18, Psalm 9:18. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Now, watch the words needy and the words poor in the Old Testament. It's almost always a reference to the Jews in the tribulation period. So when you know these key words, you get to understand Scripture a lot easier. And after that, there will be somebody after them, after this verse, the poor and needy, you'll find somebody that's after them to kill them, to wipe them out, or you'll find somebody that's willing to help them. So, verse 19, arise, O Lord, let not man prevail, let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Now, when you see the word arise in the Old Testament, it's usually a reference to the second coming of Christ in the book of Psalms. Verse 20, put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men, Selah. You know what Selah is. Selah is a musical term for rest. Take a rest and think about what you just read. This is a reference in Psalm that shows the judgment of the nations. Look at Joel chapter 3, another one. Joel chapter 3, beginning with verse 9. Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles. Prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Verse 10, beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hook into spears. Now, when Jesus Christ comes back, you will find this verse is just the opposite. You read that, I think it's in Matthew. They beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, but now they are doing it because just the opposite, because they're preparing for war. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about. Thither cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. And verse 12, let the heathen be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. Very important valley there. A lot goes on throughout history. For there will I judge all the heathen round about. I will sit to judge all the heathen round about. So here's another reference. There will be people within those nations that will be judged when Christ comes back because they didn't help the Jew. Now, it's nations as a whole and individuals within that nation that this goes on with. So it's not just the countries themselves, but individuals within them. Job chapter 24. Job chapter 24, beginning with verse 1. Job is an easy book to find. Verse 1. Why, seeing times are not hidden from the Almighty, pay attention to the word times, do they that know Him not see His days? Very important question in the Bible. It's saying that if God can see the way things are in the time, how come it is hidden from them that are supposed to know Him? If God sees it, God says in His Word, if I can see it, why can't you see it? You're my people. What's going on with you? The times are found in Revelation 12 and verse 14. And some of you know this verse, but many don't. Revelation 12:14 says, and to the woman were given two wings of an eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness. Now, let me stop here. This is where people come up that angels have wings, and that they have long hair like a woman and all. But get the context. When you learn and you study, you find out this is a demonic being. It's not an angel. It's not one of God's messengers. Fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a times. This is important. You pay attention. What are the times? What is a time and half a time? From the face of a servant, of the serpent. Now, how many know what the times are? Time, times,
year,
and half time.
2 years and half.
Yeah.
3.5 years.
3.5 years, which gives you the indication or the knowledge that the tribulation, the worst part of it, is going to be 3.5 years. And that's how you learn Scripture, comparing Scripture with Scripture. You get the context, and you know how to rightly divide it then. So that's why they call it the Great Tribulation. You have the tribulation, 7 years, the first 3.5, the guy's out making friends, I'm your buddy, I give you free welfare, pay all your bills, and then all of a sudden he goes into the temple, kicks down the statue there and puts himself in that place, says, I'm it, you're under my rule now. So you've got time, times, and half a times. God looks at this mess called Christianity and says, if the times are not hidden from me, why are they hidden to you who are supposed to know me and be part of my family? Then Job chapter 24, verse 2 says, some remove the landmarks, they violently take away flocks, and feed thereof. They drive away the ass of the fatherless, and they take the widow's ox for a pledge. Now, you read these terms, but as we go through Bible, and do you just read over these terms, the ass of the fatherless? What is that? What's that all about? They drive away the nation of Israel. The ass represents the nation of Israel. The young colt, as we'll read in a minute, represents the body of Christ, which comes out of the nation of Israel, according to Romans 8 and 11. He chooses to ride the church, and we'll look at that in just a second. He refuses to ride Israel. Why? Because they have rejected Him for all these hundreds and thousands of years. Matthew 21, verses 1 through 7 says, and this is when Christ comes to Jerusalem, and when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, there were some come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And brought the ass and the colt, and they put their clothes, and they set him thereupon. So Job 24 verse 3 says, They drive away the ass of the fatherless. They take the widow's ox for a pledge. They drive away the nation of Israel. And that's what's going to happen. You know, as you've read Scripture and studied Scripture, that they're going to drive Israel out of their land, or try to. And then Job 24:4, they turn the needy out of the way, the poor of the earth hide themselves together. That's a Jew. Remember, the poor and the needy refers to the Jews. Verse 5, Job 24, verse 5, Behold, as wild asses in the desert, they go forth. That gives you another indication that it is the wild asses are the Jewish nation, the Jewish people. They go forth to their work, rising betimes for prey. The wilderness yieldeth food for them and for their children. Here you have God feeding them. They have nothing as they're running from this Antichrist. They're out in the wilderness. And God is feeding them with manna, as He did in the Old Testament, the Jews back then. He'll do that again in the tribulation period. Job 24:6, They reap everyone his corn in the field, and they gather the vintage of the wicked. They cause the naked to lodge without clothing, and they have no covering in the cold. They are wet with the showers of the mountains, and embrace a rock for want of a shelter. They pluck the fatherless from the breast, and take a pledge of the poor. They cause him to go naked without clothing, and they take away the sheep from the hungry. So they have no place to go. They're chasing the Jews. They're tracking them down. They're killing them. So in the middle of the tribulation period, when they are being judged, and they caused this themselves, the Jews brought it on themselves. They rejected the Messiah. They said, let his blood be upon us, and they're paying for it. They're paying for it today. And when they are in the wilderness, they have nothing, absolutely nothing. Remember, I think it was in Matthew, it says, when this takes place, go, don't go back to the house, just take off, go. And when they were in the wilderness, they had no clothing, no food, no shelter. And God provides everything that's needed for them. Remember, as they were traveling out of Egypt, they didn't have a change of shoes. They didn't have pair, but they lasted. God made the clothes, the shoes last for all those years that they were out there. And God provides these things for them. God provides people for them, like Corrie Ten Boom, who says, "Are you hungry? Come in. I will give you something to eat. You can't stay here, because they're going to come and break down the door and look for you. But it's cold out there. Here, take my coat." Things like that will be going on. There'll be somebody to help those Jews during this time period. In verse 24:11, Job, down to verse 14, and what you read here is a picture of the nation of Israel being out there in the tribulation period, being needy, poor, destitute, naked, hungry, and cold. And then you pick it up in Isaiah 21, and you find another verse dealing with this time period. So over and over you see how God provides for the Jew even during the tribulation period. And you know, they head to the Valley of Megiddo, and I can't prove it, but it looks like there's only going to be not many Jews left compared to, there may only be a few thousand that are left after this time period. And then you go through all that, and that you can see how that God provides for His nation, for His people. And like I said, Isaiah 21:11-15, the watchman said, "The morning cometh." That's another term, the second coming of Christ. And also the night. The night refers to the tribulation period. When you see that in the Old Testament, especially in Psalms and Isaiah. So you'll remember these key words and pick up on these key words. They'll help you in your reading and studying. And this is a picture of somebody out there that's hungry, thirsty, and someone bringing them something to eat and drink. And let me finish up with this. You may read those passages coming through the Bible and scratch your head and say, "What in the world is this all about?" But once you have the context of the passage, it makes sense. It begins to all fit together. And then that's how you rightly divide the word of truth. Everything in the scripture means something. Every word in there means something. Don't take it lightly. You just have to know how to tie it back to what the key is. And what you have is a picture of the Jew in the tribulation period, hunted by the Antichrist, going through all the things that he is going through and not being able to sustain himself. They have to trust the Lord. And somebody helping the Jew right under the nose of the Antichrist, as they did during World War II. So, someone who may say, "What about Romans 13? You're to be under, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers." Now, if we're told to turn in the Jew to the authorities, are we to do that because the authority told us? Or is there a conflict, or seemingly conflict, to in Scripture? So, Romans 13 is fine until it crosses other Scripture, and then you use the Scripture that God is teaching us or telling us to do. We're to protect the Jew. We're to watch out for the Jew. Now, if someone says, well, you're under the authority of the Antichrist, you're to turn them in. No, the Antichrist is wrong. He's anti-God. We follow Scripture. This is how you rightly divide the Word of God, how you know what to do, what's true, what's not. So, lesson for us is there's key words, there's principles in the Word of God that we need to know and understand and apply to our lives, and rightly divide the Word, get the context so that we don't get messed up somehow, some way, and that we can become more like Christ. And that's what I teach and preach. We are to become more like Christ. You may not know all of Scripture, none of us do, but what God reveals to us with your heart attitude, God will reveal, open the Word to you, to whatever you can take. Some of us can take in more, some of us not as much, but we apply to our lives what God reveals to us. And it's going to make life a much, much easier and much more blessed, because you'll see God working in your own individual life. All right, Danny, pray for us, please.
Father, through a lot out there today, of course, through John, we just praise you, Father, that we can look to your word to help guide us in all the situations in our life. Father, help us to rightly divide your word. Help us to be a friend to the Jewish people, and above all things, Father, just to be appreciated, because it was through them that we have the word that we have in our hands. So we're so thankful to them for all that that takes place. So, Father, we just pray for our guest speaker, that you've worked on him, that you've prepared him for this message you're going to give us. Pray for our pastor, that he has a relaxing birthday. And all things, Father, we just want to thank you for the prayers and requests that have gone up, Father, that only you can answer. So, Father, we just turn them over to you and ask that your will be done. But we ask that you listen to our heart's reply. But we submit ourselves, Father, to your will. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.